peace and blessings, y'all. God bless y'all. I'm Jarvis Kingston, and I hope y'all doing all right and staying strong and solid in these times that we're in. I pray that you have repented and that you are baptized. I pray that you are safe and protected. And I just pray that whatever situation that you're going through, that the Most High be with you, that he guides you, he protects you, keeps looking out for you, he comforts you, he gives you more strength. I pray that you become more strong and wise in the Lord. I hope that your mental health gets better, your situation clears up, all right? Greetings, people. Greetings, greetings, greetings. Shalom, family. We are here, man. Another day, another blessing. Hallelujah. Another day to get close to the Most High. Another day to get it right with him. Another day to do Father's business. Another day to do Father's will. Another day to rejoice and give him glory and praise. Another day to call on his name. Amen. So in today's message, I'm going to read about Abraham, the promise of Abraham, the obedience of Abraham, Abraham's faithfulness, steadfastness, and I'm going to just discuss about just the origins of Abraham in this Genesis series I'm going through. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this Old Testament series that I've been going on, and I'm also going to go in the New Testament series as well. So in this one, I'm going to discuss Abraham and how it all started with him and how the Most High spoke to him, the encounters and the whole way, because this is a great example of faith. You know, when you read Hebrews 11, it talks about the substance of faith and the heroes of it. And it talks about how Abraham was a hero of faith. And it talks about every man of the Most High, what got them was their faith, you know. And we definitely need that type of, we need that Abraham type of faith. Amen. We know that Christ talked about having a mustard seed faith and moving mountains, you know. And Abraham really had to do that. You know, Abraham really had to go through Egypt. He really had to go through it with Sarah by his side, you know, to get what God called him to get. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, us being in these end times, in these last days, you know, it's so much distractions. It's so much things that could throw us off. It's so much things that really steers people away from focusing on God and God's voice and God's calling and his will. But when you're firm, you don't let nothing get in the way of that. When you're focused and vigilant, you don't let nothing disrupt you or sidetrack you or you backslide to do God's will and obey his word and obey his voice. You know, you notice how much distractions are stronger and harder than ever, whether it's social media or certain news cycles or just random set of occurrences. You notice how disruptive the enemy is and his agents and his devices are. You peep how the enemy's pawns and puppets are just constantly sidetracking people heavy, deceiving people heavy, confusing people heavy. Amen. So we have to be alert people in these times. All right. Our faith got to be on point. Our faith cannot be shaken up at all. Hallelujah. Your faith got to be just immeasurable. You get what I'm saying? Like, you got to know the Lord going to deliver you. You got to know he's going to do it for you. You got to know he's going to get you through that situation. You have to know that you know the outcome. You know what I'm saying? That type of faith. You feel me? So we have to really get our faith together, get our obedience together, get in alignment, like for real. We have to really embrace that narrow path, because you see how this society and this world that we're in is constantly oppressing people, pushing people further, dividing people, putting people on their backs against the wall. This generation is devouring the poor. This generation is just really after everybody, to be honest. It's after men, women, children, everybody. You get what I'm saying? Like, it is a real warfare out here. So our faith, that armor of God, that's going to really get us in these times. You know what I'm saying? We have to have that Abraham type of faith. We got to have that type of faith that people wanted the healing from Christ type faith. You know, every time Christ healed somebody, he said, your faith made you well. That we need that type of that your faith made you well. Those are some powerful words right there. Amen. And the way that people wanted Christ's healing, his power, his love, his touch, just anything. That's the type of faith we got to have. When that woman touched his garment and she wanted that healing, that's the type of faith we got to have. We have to have strong faith, people. All right, there's just too much people that's getting too distracted and sidetracked and confused and we got to get it together, Israel. We got to get together, Gentiles. We got to get it together. All four corners of the earth, we got to get it together. All peoples, all tongues, all nations, all tribes, all languages, we got to get it together. Amen. And the one of the best perfect examples there is when it comes to faith is Abraham, because it all started as far as promises and covenants goes. God always promised people at large in general many different promises and covenants. But as far as individual examples, God promised Noah about the covenant, his rainbows, and you know, and showing his glory to Noah and not ever flooding the earth again. We still see that rainbow to this day. Hallelujah. God is way too real and powerful. God promised Abraham many multiple things, father of many nations. Hallelujah. God promised so much things to his people. All right. And we have to embrace those promises, and we have to embrace this journey that we're on. Amen. So I'm going to read the book of Genesis chapter 12. All right. Genesis chapter 12. And we're just going to go through there and then close out. Amen. So here we go, y'all. Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So you see, the Most High communicates with Abraham. And he lets Abraham know the promise, the covenant, and the things to come at the moment and in the future. So when the Lord speaks to his people, it's not only just at the moment in a certain situation, it's also eternal, everlasting as well. Prophecy is very beautiful and always based around long-term things that could benefit many nations. And through the promise of Abraham, it enables all tribes, all nations, all people, all color, all languages to inherit the blessing, to inherit many great promises and covenants, because he made Abraham the father of many nations. That's why the Gentiles in the New Testament were able to, you know, receive the gospel, the Holy Spirit, the encounters with Christ and disciples, things of that nature. They're able to experience the power of God, of course, through Christ's blood and him dying for our sins, and also through Abraham's promise. So it goes hand in hand. And we all see the promises of Abraham all throughout the book of Genesis. And it's just beautiful how God makes his covenants and his promises with people, and how his word doesn't go void, and how the Lord, he is the Lord of his word. Amen. And his ways is higher than our ways. His thoughts is higher than our thoughts. It's on us to submit to God, to obey his voice, and to trust in him, and to have faith with him and walk with him wholeheartedly. Amen. And I just love how he broke it down to Abraham. And Abraham had to get out of his comfort zone to get what God had for him. You see, in order for God to, you know, really fulfill many things throughout your life and your calling, your purpose, and so much different things he has in store for you, you have to step out. You have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to really step out on faith. You have to take a leap of faith. You have to leave what is familiar to you. You have to get out of stagnation. You have to get out of doing the same old, same old. You have to get out of your routine. God was basically calling Abraham to get out of his routine. Because with Abraham, obviously he was just around his people. He was just where he was at. But things weren't flowing there. The Lord told him, hey, come to this spot and I will bless thee. You know what I'm saying? He really had to show and guide Abraham based on faith and promises and all those things. And we have to have that Abraham type of faith. Like I said, we have to have that obedience. Amen. So let's keep reading. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So he was 75. God spoke to Abraham to do this, and he was 75 years old. Wow. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and unto the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, and unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. So remember Lot. So Abraham brought his wife Sarai. Abraham brought Sarah with him. He also brought Lot with him as well. So on your journey, the Lord will bring just a few people with you. You see how with Noah's situation with the Noah's Ark, it was Noah, his wife, his son's wife, and animals. Abraham, it was his wife, Lot, and all the things that they had to gather. So you see how God works in fews. He works in few numbers, you see. He works in fews. So always got to remind, be mindful that the journey may not be such a big circle. God wants you to have a blessed, tight-knit, beautiful, fruitful circle. He wants you to have a powerful circle around you. Because about the quality, not quantity. God is not vain about how he does things. God, everything he does is purposeful and meaningful. All right. He does things by numbers as well. Okay. So let us keep going. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed, I will give this land. And there built he built an altar to the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. So Abraham had to go through Egypt. He had to go through that situation. And Abraham had to really step out of his comfort zone and really trust in the Lord on that journey, on that path. And that's how we have to live our lives. No matter where we're placed, we have to trust in the Lord and know that he's going to guide our steps. He's going to guide our feet. Amen. So let's keep going. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter Egypt that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art is a beautiful woman to look upon. Therefore shall come a pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee that art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So when Abraham and Sarah pulled up to Egypt, Abraham was understanding of how Egyptians were hostile, violent people, and how aggressive they were, how mean of a nation they could be. We got to remember, like, Egyptians were very, very just savage people. So Abraham was so fearful of his standing with his wife that he had to lie about it and say it's his sister, you know, because, you know, Egyptians were very ruthless people. And Abraham was understanding of that and was so in fear of his enemies in different nations. And he didn't want something to happen to him or his wife. So he had to kind of play along with it being circumspect, you know. So sometimes the journey get a little crazy. People kind of get lose their wits sometimes. All right. But let us be firm wherever God leads us. Amen. But we can still learn from these examples. So let's keep reading. And it came to pass that when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. The princess also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he treated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he had donkeys and men servants and maid servants, and she asked, and female donkeys and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh, now look at that. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house. So God put that judgment, them curses on Pharaoh and his house. Pharaoh already knew it was the Lord. Now, this just shows you how even evil people can recognize when God is doing something. That shows you how powerful and a mighty God we serve. Pharaoh knew that was the Lord who did that. He knew none of the Egyptian gods that he worshipped. He knew it wasn't them. All those Babylonian gods and goddesses couldn't do that. God plagued Pharaoh and his house, and Pharaoh knew it was the Lord. Even wicked people know what time it is, man. When it comes to the Lord's judgment, his wrath and his anger and his plagues, people know what time it is, man. Every knee shall bow before the Lord. Every tongue shall confess who the Lord is, man. Pharaoh knew, man, this was the Lord. He already knew. This is why we serve a mighty God, man. The government rests on his shoulders. He is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yes, the wonderful counselor, man. Well, let's keep reading. All right. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is it that thou hast done to me? Why did thou not tell me this was your wife? Why said you, said, why did you say she is your sister? So I might have taken her to my wife. Now, therefore, behold, my wife, take her and go that way. So Pharaoh was like, dang, bro, why you lied to me and told me this? Why you misled me and misguided me? You know what I mean? When people get fearful and scared and frightened about things, they tend to lie to think to try to lessen the situation or intensity of it, you know. But you always stay true to who you are. All right? Always stay true to God and before anybody. You know what I'm saying? Don't ever let people put fear in you and get you out of your element. You know what I'm saying? But in Abraham's scenario, he did what he did, you know. So those things are just situational in the moment. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. So as you can see, you know, the Lord put that fear in Pharaoh. Pharaoh had to back up, you know, because no matter how mighty you are, how high you are, what king, whatever you are, God gonna always put a way to put that fear in you. He's gonna always find a way to humble you, all right? Because the Lord, he recompensed the righteous and the wicked. He recompensed everybody. All right. So let's go through Genesis chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all they had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel until the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and High, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also went, which went with Abram, had flax and herds and tents. So you can see the Lord really blessed Abraham and looked out for him. This kind of goes about the scripture where it says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. You kind of see this example of how Abraham was given all these different types of livestock and all types of things. Of course, he gained it from the Lord. But also, he went around Pharaoh and had to deal with those dealings when it came to resources as well. So it describes how Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. So I'm not saying this out of some prosperity gospel, not like that. I'm just saying that the Lord does bless his people with resources to help others around, you know. Whether it's livestock, silver, gold, cattle, resources are important. God always supplied his people multiple needs and beyond. And it's beautiful how God blessed Abraham with covenants, promises, fulfillment, examples, nations, and bloodlines. And also he blessed Abraham with earthly possessions as well, even though they were heavenly and divine and heaven sent as well. God blessed Abraham, you know, when it came to resources, because Abraham was able to put people on and help others around. And God always never made things solely about us. He always made about people around us, whether it's your spouse, your children, your children's children, your community, your animals, your maidservants, your slaves, your servants, your workers. God always wants to include everybody into the blessing. Amen. God wants the one person to be sent out, called, or chosen, what have you, to be the example. But how God uses that person, it blesses those around him. You get what I'm saying? So God blessing Abraham. Abraham was also to look out for others around him. You see what I'm saying? So that's the order. You follow the Lord. You walk by faith. You trust in him. You do what he calls you to do. You get blessed. You have more than any. You have more blessed than any room could fit in it. And then you're able to bless others. You're able to share what you have with others. You're able to share your testimony. You're able to share the word of the Lord. You're able to share your stories and your encounters with the Lord. You're able to share the gospel. You're able to share whatever resources God supplied you with. And you're able to help and bless others with what the Lord gave you through faith and obedience. Amen. So I just love reading the story of Abraham because, in a sense, a lot of these things kind of started with him, you know, and through Abraham, through the promises that the Father gave him, all four corners of the earth are able to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, man. That's just beautiful. You know, through Abraham, through the promise of Abraham and through Christ's blood, you know, so much promises and fulfillments happen through that. Amen. So it's very awesome that those things take place in history. So let's see what we have here. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. See, they have so much resources and blessings that they couldn't even fit room in it. They couldn't even fit spaces in it. Because when you have hundreds, thousands of cattle, animals, you have so much livestock, you have so much silver and gold, there's not even enough room and space for it. When God blesses you, he gives, your cup runs over, your cup overflows. God overflows those blessings. He does. If an earthly father can give his children many gifts, imagine how much more the heavenly father can give his children for those who ask in my name. That's what Christ said. Amen. The heavenly father is a very big giver, very abundant. And we have to be generous as well. That's why we're called to be generous people, because we serve a generous creator. Amen. So let us continue. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And yeah, Abraham and Lot's cattle had issues with each other. That's kind of funny. Their workers had conflicts within working spaces. But the Lord worked it out either way. Amen. And Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. If not the whole land before thee, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. So see, Abraham and Lot had to figure out how to work this out. Because as they were walking together, walking by faith, walking with God, they were dealing with earthly issues and earthly carnal issues, dealing with their land, spacing, cattle, things of that nature. So when you're following God and you're on this journey, you will have some conflicts then and there. And it's not like they're purposely driven, instigating stuff. It's just things happen along the way. But Abraham made peace with Lot. You see how Abraham didn't get impatient or angry and lost self-control and lost composure. Abraham made it a peaceful way to settle it. And that's how we have to settle our dealings with people. When it comes to some friction or some conflict or some little clash or whatever, we got to make peace with it the Lord's way. You see, we don't got to get all rah-rah extra with it. We have to handle it the Lord's way. Amen. You have to be patient and you got to be peaceful about how you go about things to have a good, clear conscience. All right. Can't walk around holding grudges and full of vengeance and bitterness and wanting to prove a point so bad, because then you lean on your own understanding. So we got to do better with our communication. We got to do better with how we deal with people, especially in these end times. Amen. So let's see what we have here. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou came unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities in the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Wow, look at that. So Abraham went to Canaan, Lot went to Sodom. But the scripture says the people of Sodom were very wicked exceedingly. So that means they had no regard for any goodness or anything. They had no fear of the Lord in them. They were very evil, evil people. All right. It said exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram after Lot was separate from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art up north, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt to the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. All right, so those are just a few scriptures. I just wanted to read for Genesis. We're going to continue that. I just want to just break that down and go through the whole origin of Abraham and his obedience and his journey, because it's very important how Abraham went about his walk with God, so we could take those examples and apply it to our lives. And you notice every time Abraham obeyed God, he always built an altar for the Lord. So every time he did what God called him to do, he would keep being steadfast. he would keep figuring out more ways to keep honoring the Lord. And Abraham kept building altars unto the Lord and kept worshiping him and kept calling on his name. And that's what we have to do. We have to keep building for the Lord. We have to keep just making checkpoints for the, we have to keep just, you know, being more creative about how we go about things with the Father. All right. We never forget what he done for us. We never forget what he brought us through. Amen. Abraham kept building altars for the Lord because he feared him and loved him. And remember, Abraham was a friend of God. They were friends. Like, they had a beautiful friendship. And Abraham honored that. You know what I'm saying? And Abraham was thankful of where the Lord brought him from. He was thankful of what the Lord called him out of. Amen. So let us be like Abraham when it comes to always being a friend of God and being thankful for what he brought us through. Amen. So there you have it, y'all. All right. That's just a book of Genesis reading. And we're just going to wrap it up from there. All right. So as I close out, I would love to give all the glory to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, and I would love to praise the only begotten Son who died for our sins. Amen. So here we go. He is the Adam, the Advocate, the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega. Amen. Amen. The Apostle of our profession, the armor of the Lord, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the author and finisher of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith, the author of life, the author of salvation, the beginning and the end, the beginning of creation of God, the beloved Son. The blessed only potentate, the blessed only ruler, the branch, the bread of God, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the capstone, the captain of salvation, the chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd, Christ, the Christ of God, the consolation of Israel, the cornerstone, the counselor, the wonderful counselor, the creator, the dayspring, the deliverer, the desire of the nations, the door, the elect of God, Emmanuel, the eternal life, the everlasting Father. The government rests on his shoulders. Amen. Yes, faith and true witness, faithful and true, the faithful witness, the first and the last, the first begotten, the firstborn from the dead, firstborn over all creation, the forerunner, the gate, the glory of the Lord, God, the good shepherd, the great high priest, the great shepherd, the head of the church, the heir of all things, the high priest, holy and true, the holy one, the hope of glory, the horn of salvation, the I am, the image of God, Jehovah, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the judge of Israel, the judge, King eternal, the King of Israel, hallelujah, he is the King of kings, amen. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, King of saints, King of the ages, King of the Jews, the King, the Lamb of God, the Lamb without blemish, the last Adam, the lawgiver, the leader and commander, the life of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the living one, the living stone, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord, Yah, Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yahawashah, Yahweh, Yahweh, Ha, Yashah, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Barakathah, Shalom, Shalom, Yeshua, Elohim, Yahweh Shai. Yes, the consuming Father, the Father of lights, the Father of the fatherless. Amen. Yes, he is the sustainer. He is the Holy One. He is the only one. Amen. Yes, the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the man from heaven, the man of sorrows, the mediator of the new covenant, the mediator, the messenger of the covenant, the Messiah, the mighty God, the mighty one, the morning star, the Nazarene, the offspring of David, the only begotten Son of God, our great God and Savior, our holiness, our spiritual husband, our Passover, our protection, our redemption, our righteousness, our sacrificed Passover lamb, the power of God, the precious cornerstone, the Prince of Kings, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Prophet, the Redeemer, the resurrection and life, the revelation, the revelator, the righteous branch, the righteous one, the rock, the root of David, the rose of Sharon, the ruler of God's creation, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the Savior, the seed of woman, the shepherd and bishop of souls, the Shiloh, the son of David, the son of God, the son of man, son of the blessed, son of the most high God, the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, the son of righteousness, the just one, the one mediator, the stone the builders rejected, the true bread and the true God and the true light, the true vine. He is the truth. Amen. He is the way. Amen. He is the way, truth, and life. Hallelujah. He is the wisdom of God. Yes, the witness, the wonderful counselor. Yes, the word of God, the word of Yah, the word of Yahuwah, the word of Yahweh Shai, the word of Elohim. Yes, the word of the consuming fire, the word of life, the word. Amen. We touch and agree. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. We serve an awesome creator and the Son is amazing for dying for our sins. Amen. Yes, in the authority and the power in the name of Jesus Christ, you are renewed, restored, healed, transformed, born again, new creature in Christ. You got a new mind, a new heart, and a new soul for the Lord. You have new footsteps, a new path. The Lord is going to bless your hands to prosper. You will be able to help more people. You will get out your comfort zone. You will endure through trials and tribulations and hardships and long suffering. The Lord will be with you and guide you. The Lord will purify you and refine you. Amen. Hallelujah. So there you have it, y'all. We touch and agree. Amen. Yes. New creature in Christ, born again. Repentance, baptism, stability. Amen. So that's that, y'all. I just wanted to read that. The book of Genesis written by Abraham, you know. That's an excellent example when it comes to faith and our journey with God and how to honor him. Amen. So that's that, y'all. All right. I hope that you all stay blessed and strong from here on out and keep it rolling for the Lord. Amen. So that's that, y'all. All right. I pray to God that whoever listens to this message, I pray that you get baptized. You start your life for the Most High. I pray that you repent and have new beginnings. And I just hope that the Lord keeps changing things for you and you keep going with the times. You keep transitioning with the Lord. You keep on moving in the spirit. Amen. I'm Jarvis Kingston. I got much love for y'all. God bless y'all. Peace.